The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
So first it was the Down and Cork Gaelic football senior teams who were caught holding training sessions back in January. And the team bosses, Paddy Talley and Ronan McCarthy, got 8 and 12 week bans respectively. And then we had last week the massive controversy, the 6 in a row Dublin senior football team. Players from that squad were photographed training at the Innisfails Club in North Dublin. And the fact that it happened in a GAA complex made the issue exceptionally serious. Desi Farrell, the Dublin team manager, suspended for 12 weeks as a result of that. And now Kieran Cunningham, chief sports writer of the Irish Daily Star, tell us about Monaghan.
Yeah, well, now there's been an issue with the Monaghan footballers. Like, it's all been football teams so far that have been caught. That's four football teams, and it was from a training session that I think it was about 10 days ago, and the pictures and video footage were actually sent to the Department of Justice, funnily enough, so which led to a Gardaí investigation. And like Dublin, the Monaghan County Board have launched a preemptive strike by suspending their own manager, Seamus McEnany, for 12 weeks. And today, because the GAA announced a roadmap of return to action, the GAA president, Larry McCarthy, was on an online grouped video call, and his frustration and annoyance at what happened was very apparent. And he said this has caused the GAA reputational damage. And, you know, there's a great fear within the GAA that this plan for a return could be jeopardised if more come to light. Now, this Monaghan training session, you know, if you work out the timeline, it's probably before the Dublin one. So I think if there was one that came since the Dublin ban, you know, of evidence came to light of a training session since Dublin were caught training, I think it would be very, very serious.
But, Kieran, I mean, it's only speculation, but there have been stories from all over the country of other teams doing the same and doing it either in full sessions or smaller groups. The question is whether they get caught or not. I mean, do we know, for example, was this the only session in which Monaghan had engaged? And is it possible also that sometimes the managers are taking the fall for something that might have been known about by many others at county board level?
Well, the short answer to this is we don't know. Because, you know, there is an omerta within the GAA around all these matters. You know, like anecdotally, you hear of certain teams that have been training, have been training for a long time, and they trained through most of last year. But I do know of some other prominent counties that haven't trained at all. You know, they have adhered by the rules. And, you know, it's a bit, like, some people are very reluctant to call this cheating, but if there are rules put in place, then you deliberately break the rules. I don't know what else you can call it.
Okay, Peter Canavan's with us as well, of course, long-standing commentator on Gaelic football here for The Last Word at JFM, former All-Ireland winning captain with Tyrone. Peter, does this also suggest that some parts almost agree a desperation on the part of some inter-county managers, so fearful of being left behind that they will deliberately take a chance to break the rules?
Yeah, that's exactly the case in Monaghan, whereby you had a manager who felt that his team seriously underachieved. Last year, it was a major disappointment for Monaghan, for Monaghan supporters being defeated in the first round against Cavan. So he is very keen to make sure that doesn't happen again. And in an effort to get ahead of the pack, he's obviously had them out, Seamus has had them out training. That doesn't mean, and it's very understandable, and I know in some quarters, Matt, there's a lot of sympathy for managers and for inter-county teams because things have moved on in terms of COVID. League is coming up very soon. The weather's starting to get better and all the rest. So there's a lot of sympathy for them. On the other hand, there's a lot of teams. You know, Kieran made the point, I have more sympathy for the teams that have stuck and adhered to the rules and have not been out training. And where does that leave them? So this idea of the manager taking the flak is absolutely meaningless. It is pointless, given Seamus McEnany 12 weeks. What does that mean? It has no effect on the Monaghan setup. In fact, a lot of managers now prefer to be up in the stand, having a better oversight of the things and letting the men on the ground be linked up to them and get them to make the decisions. So And
what does the 12-week ban mean? Does the ban mean that he wouldn't be able to attend training sessions, that he wouldn't be able to go into the dressing room before, during or after a game, that he wouldn't be supposed to picking the team? Or do you think that secretly a banned manager could be doing many of those things?
Well, if you ask any county board chairman whether or not their team is training, in some cases, obviously, teams are training, they will say they will know nothing about it. The case of a manager that is suspended, do you think they're going to own up on a manager that has went in to train his team? Absolutely not. But my final point on this whole matter, Matt, goes back to the declassification of the elite status terms for inter-county teams. I think as soon as the GA let that title go, they were leaving themselves open. This was always going to happen. As the virus and the vaccines kicked in, managers and teams were going to be tempted to get out. And unless the penalty was severe enough to do something about it, i.e. players were going to be punished, and that would really affect teams or county chairmen, and in some cases, then you're going to do something real about it. But as for this notion of suspend managers, in my opinion, it's completely meaningless.
But Peter, I suspect as well that for Monaghan, Cavan and Donegal, there must be envious eyes cast across the border where the vaccination programme is going at a much greater clip. And are there less restrictions on players and teams training?
Well, we've got a week's grace up here compared to down south, and that's welcome. But is that going to make a massive difference, Matt, on the overall picture? I don't think so, and you know, as Kieran rightly said, this whole saga has further tarnished our association, and it left a sour taste in the mouth coming into the league.
Okay, and Kieran Cunningham, is there anything more happening in relation to Dublin's episode last week, or did the preemptive strike by the Dublin County Board in relation to suspending Desi Farrell as manager for 12 weeks ease the pressure on the players who were involved and on the Dublin County Board itself? Or is there more to come from GAA headquarters on that?
Well, I don't think any of the players will, I don't think any action will be taken against any of the players. You know, there's still a possibility, the GAA themselves at central level are still looking into it, and they've said today they will be looking into the Monaghan situation as well, even though the Monaghan County Board have issued a suspension. So, no, because these are GA properties, like the one in Monaghan was in the Court of Grand, Inishvals in Dublin, there is a possibility of sanctions to be taken against the clubs, because Cork and Down weren't on GA property. And there's also, you might have fines imposed on the county board. I think that's a possibility as well.
OK. I wonder what you think as well, Kieran, are the sponsors going to make of all of this?
I think they'll brush it off. You know, like if it will, because we're so close to a return to training and play now, and there is a lot of frustration out there. You know, that people, you know, there's a very strong argument that, you know, teams should be back training already and should be. But why are we waiting the extra couple of weeks? It doesn't seem to make that much of a difference. So because of that, I think there's an element of sympathy there, and I think that would extend to sponsors. You know, as well as that, now there's a calendar. You know, we haven't got championship draws yet, but now we have something concrete to talk about. We have actual dates to look forward to, which we haven't had for a while. So, you know, that'll take over the conversation very quickly.
OK, and just before I go back to Peter, Kieran, just tell us the key dates that'll bring us up to All-Ireland finals, the football final the last weekend in August, the hurling final the week before that.
Yeah, well, our first games back will be with the Hurling League on the weekend of 8th and 9th of May, and then the Football League will start after that, but the week after that. But it's going to be a regional Football League. Like, say, in Division 1 football, you would have Armagh, Donegal, Tyrone and Monaghan, you know. So, you know, because they are trying to minimise the amount of travel involved because of COVID restrictions. It's more or less the same format as last year. You know, hurling will have a backdoor. There'll be no backdoor in football. And last year, that did give us great excitement with the likes of Cavan and Tipperary winning. But I think it did dilute the All-Ireland semi-finals. You know, and losing big teams like Tyrone, Galway, Kerry, even Donegal to an extent because they went to the Ulster final. I think that... you know, you have to weigh up what you want. Like, the excitement of straight knockout is great, but losing a lot of big teams very early does damage the championship.
What do you think of that, Peter? Do you think should there have been a way found to have the second chance backdoor for teams?
I do. I would have preferred to see a backdoor for the reason that, you know, that Kieran had mentioned, that last year, for example, Throne and Donegal played in the first round, and that was it gone for one of them. And it's not as if there's not the time for a backdoor, Matt. The backdoor system only adds another couple of weeks to the overall championship period. And if you look at the way they have road mapped it at the minute, there's only three games in August, the two semi-finals and the final. So for the whole month of August, there's a two-week break between the provincial finals, semi-finals, and a two-week break to the final. So the time, that time could have easily been replaced with the qualifier system. And I know in Hurling, they will have a minimum of seven games, five in the league and two in the championship. Whereas the football, for a lot of teams, it's only going to be one championship game and four in the league. So I would have preferred to see a backdoor for sure.
And Kieran Cunningham, is this new format that they've decided on, though, going to give the prominence to the club championships that many people enjoyed so much last year at the various county levels?
Yeah, well, it will, like, from September on, you know, it's club only. And even, you know, you can have club games earlier. Like, if your team goes out of the championship, say, in June or July, you know, it's up to the county boards if they want to put competitions in place. Like, they might want to do regional leagues or, you know, whatever kind of competition they want to put in place. So there's a big desire within club players as well just to get back training. You know, even if they don't have games for a while, they want to get back for the enjoyment and the buzz of training again. So that's going to come soon enough.
Kieran Cunningham of the Irish Daily Star and Peter Canavan, thank you both for joining us here on The Last Word of Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.